Praise team. If you will, please take your Bible today and let's go to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 14. You know, Christmas, there's a lot of things that are special about Christmas. But nothing more important than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of what Christmas is really all about, of the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior. It's one of the major Bible doctrines in all of Scripture. Is the fact that God had planned before eternity ever began that he would send his only begotten son into this world to be born of a virgin. Literally, if you really think about that, God himself, the omnipotent, sovereign, creator God, put himself in the form of a human being and then was born of a virgin and lived a sinless and perfect life here on the earth. Obedient, realizing that his message, His plan was to go all the way faithful to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood that you and I could have the promise and the hope of eternal life. It's an amazing story, and when you look at it, God very carefully in the Bible chose the words and the storyline and how, what he wanted you and I to get from it today. And so I wanted today, this morning, in this morning's message, focus for a moment on this word in the Bible called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. It's an interesting passage here in Scripture. We studied a little bit of this Wednesday night in the Wednesday night Bible study. And so you find here that there was a, in the verses prior to this, that God was asking King Ahaz here for a sign, and he wouldn't give him a sign. And so the Lord spoke to Ahaz in verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10. He said unto Ahaz, he said, ask thee a sign of the Lord, thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? And then in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now in your Bible right there, maybe you're already aware of this in Scripture or not, but the word Emmanuel here literally means God with us. God with us. And so when you think about Emmanuel here in the Bible, I think of the flip side of that, where would we be if God was not with us? Look in Isaiah chapter 8 again, and down in verse 8 again we find the word Emmanuel. It says, he shall pass through Judah, in Isaiah 8:8, and he shall overflow and go over, and he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. God is with us. And then one verse over in Matthew chapter 1, when you read about the birth of Christ in the beginning of the book of Matthew, we see again the story of the birth of Christ over in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. But in Matthew chapter 1, and down in verse 23, the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Now, I'm going to tie this together here in a moment, but I want to give you an illustration and as we begin to unfold this message here today. And there's a few of us here in the church that are addicted to the game of golf. And I realize you might look at that and say, well, man, why would you get addicted to the game of golf? But it's just fun. And not only that, you're with your best friends and you're in the outdoors and you're in the fresh air. And even though we might frustrate ourselves from day to day, but here's something I learned that's interesting. Did you ever ask yourself, pick up a golf ball and look at it? Now, some of you that are not into golf, you don't follow it. I realize this may be a stretch for you, but golf balls have dimples on them. Amen? All the golfers, amen? They have dimples on them. Believe me, they're there. They have dimples on them. So a golf ball presents a complex fluid dynamics challenge. It's really a blunt sphere that pulls air along as it flies, creating a wake and the energy needed to pull this air and the drag that slows it down. So the challenge is to reduce the drag and allow the ball to fly farther. That's why golf balls have dimples. Now you think about this. They reduce the drag, by disturbing the air and keeping it in contact with the ball longer in flight. And so when you think about it, up until about 2001, dimples on golf balls covered about 65 to 75% of the golf ball. But now they've created golf balls that are aerodynamically almost perfect, from the standpoint that a Boeing executive by the name of Steve Ogg created a golf ball that covers 100% of the surface. No flat spots. You say, well, what does that have to do with our faith in Emmanuel? I'm glad you asked. Our lives do not have flat spots, meaning that you cannot always count on our lives always being easy and always going along through life without any kind of trouble or any kind of difficulty. And that's why it's so important that during the Christmas time of the year that we think about this very thing of Emmanuel, that God is with us. As we celebrate Christmas, as we enjoy the colors, we enjoy the songs, we enjoy the music, we enjoy everything, there are some folks, and there may be some sitting right here in the sanctuary today, that are not going to enjoy Christmas this year. You don't know what a person's going through, what their struggle is, what their pain is, what their challenge is. I think about it this year, this will be the first Christmas for me in 65 years that my mother's not been here. But I rejoice in that because she spends this Christmas in heaven. And by the way, thank you for the cards and the prayers and all that. I think about that. If I had a choice, many of us around this room today, this year, have lost loved ones that have gone on and transitioned onto heaven. So when you think about it, our lives could be more easily illustrated like that golf ball, that oftentimes our lives become dimpled, if you will. Dimples make it maybe fly easier, but the flaws reduce the drag. And you think about this, that there's suffering sometimes in life. Suffering that we face or will face that does not ruin our lives. It really enhances our lives. Sometimes the suffering that we go through can be a tremendous enhancement. It can be a tremendous blessing in a way. It can mature us in the faith, if you will. And so when you think about that, from the trials and the tribulations, so think of it like this today. If you lose your job, it's a dimple in life. Count it a blessing somehow, some way, that God's not done yet and will lead you through that. Maybe your boss at work has it in for you. Maybe you might want to look at that as a dimple in life. Or you get to the courage to, here's one for you. Think back to the dating days. Now for me, that's been a long time ago because I'm happily married to one woman for 45 years in January. So thinking back to the dating days when you asked that girl out and she flat turned you down and said no. I always kind of look at that. That might be a dimple in your life. Amen. Or your son gets into trouble. Again, a dimple in life. Or your doctor finds, Brother Orville and Bobby sitting back here today, just found out, dear brother, that he's got stage 4 cancer in his lung. A dimple in life. One of life's tribulations. Our lives resemble, if you will, kind of the surface of that golf ball, but much more than the surface. If you think about it, the opposite of that, really, if you take a beach ball and it's what, always smooth. Life is never going to be always smooth. Life is never always going to be easy. Life is always going to have a challenge from here to there along the way through life. And you and I have got to look at that as the way that God has a plan and a purpose to allow that to make us better, to make us stronger, to make us more faithful, that God is working on us and maturing us in the faith. So the golf ball already dimpled, you look at it, you know, if you think about it, on the golf course, it's really interesting because if you hit the golf ball where it's supposed to go, it probably doesn't get wet and it doesn't get dirty and it doesn't get, you know, all messed up. But oftentimes, some of us, especially me or whatever, the golfer, you know, always doesn't go exactly where I want it to go. So it ends up, you know, they'll get cut, they'll get sliced, they'll get dirty, they'll get whatever. So the more dimpled the surface of our lives, think about this, the better we can become. Because God is with us, our Emmanuel is with us, and He's with us through that journey in life, and so we grow stronger by the challenges that we face. So if you're here this morning and you lost a job during the holiday time of the year, it'd be a horrible time, but count it a blessing in disguise because It's dimpled in life that what you're going through right now can make you stronger, can make you better, can make you sweeter in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to realize that our Emmanuel, God is with us. No matter what we're going through in life, you lost a spouse, God is with us. You just got the news on stage 4 cancer, God is with us. You just lost a job, God is still with you. You're going through a struggle or something, maybe financially, God is still with you on that journey. Emmanuel is God is with us. Adversity, you take the word suffering, and all suffering, if you look at it, there are many in the Bible that went through times of suffering, and if we look at it and handle it biblically from the right approach, it can make you and I to be a better believer and a better Christian and to understand God's word and God's plan in our lives. Same thing true with adversity. You know, adversity, when fears and worries come and we have the opportunity to grow stronger through our adversity. You think about the same is true of steel. Steel has some strength, but to make it really strong, it's folded over and over again and then tempered to become really, really strong. And so it is in the adversities of life that we understand that our Emmanuel is with us, that God is with us, and that through our adversities and through our suffering and through our trials and through our testings throughout the year, go back over the year of 2016, what has been times of adversity for you? What has been times of perhaps suffering for you? What has been times of great challenges when you think when you get up in the morning, I really do not see how I'm ever going to make it through this day? That can make you to be better and stronger and strong because of the strain that you've gone through in forming that in your life. So God allows, permits, brings these into our lives to make us stronger, to make us better. Think about the church. I don't know about you, you know, I've been going to church my whole life. Went to the Methodist church for a year, and I love that. The people that I went with there down in Ohio, and then one day a church like this one come and brought the gospel to our doorstep. I understood the gospel for the first time at age 16, was saved and trusted Christ as my Savior. Been going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, ever since that day in January of 1967. So think about the church. In the early centuries, the church suffered great persecution. To confess Christ as Savior could mean death. But what happened to the church in those early years as a result of that oftentimes in the first church, in the early church, is it began to grow, it began to spread, and God allowed, if you will, permitted, if you will, persecution to come into Christianity, into the church, because therefore he used that to be able to spread them and move them out from Jerusalem, out into Asia Minor, out into greener pastures and things that God allowed and permitted, if you will, persecution to bring about his plan and his purposes. So God allows, permits, brings adversity. God allows, permits, and brings suffering to strengthen us. You know, in contrasting that to the church of the Middle Ages, think of, if you go back and you study church history. Now, I realize church history sometimes can put you to sleep, and it can become boring if you look at it. I remember when I went through church history in seminary, maybe it was the professor, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, you could take a nap real quick in church history class. But I think about the church in the Middle Ages when it reached the zenith of its influence and the height of its power. Thus became the times, the darkest times of the church in those Middle Ages. Spiritually, the church became spiritually dead. The church became corrupt and the people were denied access to the Bible in their own languages. And it was one of the worst times for the local New Testament church, even though things were the smoothest for them from a standpoint from the outside. But they became spiritually dead. So the dimple, the church, it thrives. To smooth the church, it drags. And so when you look at it today, you know, oftentimes you think about which churches today most often has the most vitality and the most opportunity and the most going forward churches that repair broken lives. You know, you got to think of church as being a spiritual hospital where people can come and our Emmanuel, our God with us, can meet with us and we worship Him and honor Him and put Him first. Broken lives that can come to the foot of the cross and hear the gospel. If they're not saved, to be saved, open your heart and trust Christ. and to realize that if there's suffering in your life, if there's adversity in your life, if there are challenges in your life, God can use that for the positive. So when you think about it, you know, where the poor, the oppressed come to meet the Savior for the first time, where the dimpled people and God began to come together one-on-one. Think about Israel. Israel in the Old Testament, the closest times to God were really in the darkest hours for Israel. The exodus from slavery, Egypt, the wilderness wanderings that they went through. I saw one the other day. I was studying this message and I saw this article, this illustration that put it pretty well. Here's Moses leading Israel through the wilderness wanderings. And he's out in front and has his staff and Aaron, and here's all these millions of people. And it's like they're zigzagging through the wilderness. Which really, if you look at it in the Bible, it was really only about an 11-day journey to get to the promised land. They took 40 years to get there because of a lack of faith and because of unbelief. But here's what this article said. Moses was given direction as they, here's all Israel following him. And all I kept saying is, recalculating. I sit there, I'm thinking, I'm out on church visitation. You ever do that? You go a different way, your GPS will say, recalculate. I thought, here's Moses wandering through the wilderness, recalculating. No, let's go this way. Recalculating. It's really only an 11-day journey. And so God took them through the wilderness and took them through adverse situations and suffering situations and challenges in their life. Until why? Until those that did not believe and did not trust God and didn't have faith in God, till that generation died off. And when that generation died off, then God said, okay, now we've got a generation that can go into the promised land. And God led them into the promised land. So God is with you, no matter where you're at and what you're going through in life. If you're on that cancer battle, God is with you. If you're jobless right now, God is with you. If you're in a financial struggle, God is with you. Whatever it is in life that you're going through, you don't have to go it alone, because our Emmanuel is with us, God with us. God chooses His words very wisely and puts them in the Scripture ordained. You think about Jonah. Yeah, I was thinking about Jonah and studying this message, that in the stomach of the fish. Did you ever think about that, in the stomach of the fish? Here's the stomach with Jonah. All the stomach acids and all the digested fish and whatever else was down there. And here's Jonah, 3 days. The belly of the fish. Adversity. So no matter where you are, God can come to you. God came to Jonah in the fish, in the belly of that fish, and He promises, Jonah, I'll never leave you. I'll be with you. Even in the belly of that fish, God is with Jonah. You think about Jesus. You know, think about this. If you're God and you're going to come down, you're going to incarnate yourself and put yourself into human flesh and be born of a virgin, the exact coming of His timing had to be exact at time when He wanted everything just precise. The culture, the political atmosphere, the whole situation. So God chose Israel. And for Him to come down and be born of a virgin. So at the birth of Christ, when you think about here, Jesus was a pioneer of suffering. God sent a Savior right into the thick of suffering. The birth of Christ, our Emmanuel, brought heavenly hosts and singing angels and wise men bringing gifts, but He also brought jealousy and a violent Herod to want to kill all infant male babies at the time of His birth. So He had to flee for a while, for a couple years, till that threat went away. You know, that is a part of salvation. Oftentimes, when good comes into the world, evil resists violently. But God has sent us a Savior who walks ahead of us, and ahead of us so He can walk with us through that. Our Messiah, our Emmanuel, our God with us. God is with you and right in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through in your life. You're not alone. Not only that, nor does it depend only on you. It depends on God, the God that lives in you. And so loneliness, some will be terribly lonely this year during Christmas. And it's horrible. There are people in church who are lonely, and you can even come into a place like this and feel all alone in the struggle that you're walking through. So we need a God who is not just above us, but one who is with us, and we need an Emmanuel. And God says, I will be with you. I am your Emmanuel. thing about it, many people even have trouble sleeping because you're worrying. Do you ever do that? I don't know. Now, I worry, but I must not worry like other people worry. My wife and I, we talk about it. I'll ask her the next morning, well, did you get any sleep? No, not really. I said, well, why not? She said, I just couldn't turn it off. My brain just wouldn't shut down. And I said, well, just turn it off. And, I can hit the pillow in 5 minutes, I'm gone. Some people will hit the pillow and they'll worry. And they'll think. And they'll worry some more. I understand that. Not everybody's alike, and my wife's one of those, she'll think about that and worry about this and think about that and worry about that. And oftentimes the things that we think about and we worry about many times don't happen anyway. And so when you think about it today, if you think about it, just remember this the next time that happens, is God is with us. He is our Emmanuel. Remember, our shepherd is right there with us. He literally knows, he literally protects, and he's our Emmanuel. He's God with us. You are held in the hand of the Almighty Creator God. It's a great message. It's a great story during Christmas. Emmanuel. So when you think about it, God's desire, if you really think about it, God's desire has always been God with us. Think about that. He created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden in a perfect place, and he wanted to be with them. And you remember, they sinned and disobeyed God, and as a result of that sin, then sin passed on the whole world. You find that even then, over in Moses and Aaron and Israel and watching, God time and time again wanted to be with Israel, wanted the very best for Israel. God with us, he was their Emmanuel. During the days of the judges, and in the days of the judges, really interesting time in Bible history when you read about it, because it really is, every man kind of had their own idea of things, and every man eat, drink, live, and as you want. It's an interesting time in history. Even then, God did not forsake them. You get over in the lives of Saul and David and Solomon, and God was with them through that journey. You go on through the United Kingdom, the divided kingdom, and on down through the church age and church history, and then our Emmanuel is born of a virgin. God is with us. There will always be the hills, there will always be the valleys in our journeys through life, always. Your life may be dimpled by your trials, but because God is with us, we can move right on through life and right into eternity. You say, well, what's the opposite? If God is with us, if God is our Emmanuel, and Isaiah 7:14 is true, and Isaiah 8:8 is true, and Matthew 1:23 is true, and he is our Emmanuel, and he is with us. Friend, what you and I do not want to see is when God is not with us. That is also recorded in the Bible. Over in 1 Samuel 4 and verse 21, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 14 and verse 3 also, we find the Bible, a story there about Ichabod. Now Ichabod was a son of Phinehas and the grandson of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh. And the sad story of Eli and his two, Eli had, as the high priest, had two wayward sons, Phinehas and Hophni. And Hophni and Phinehas died in battle with the Philistines, who captured the Ark of the Covenant, and then they took it away from Israel. And upon hearing that terrible news that his sons had been taken and his two wayward sons here, and that Eli, the Bible says that Eli fell over backward off his chair, broke his neck, and died. Phinehas' pregnant wife went into labor and then bore a son and named his son Ichabod. And here what was interesting about Ichabod. Ichabod in the Bible, if you go back and read this in 1 Samuel 4 and 1 Samuel 14, the name literally means the glory has departed from Israel. The glory of God has departed and has left the nation of Israel. Eli fell over and died right there. They took the ark. The ark in the Bible has always represented the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God, the power of God. And when they took that, it was all Eli could do. He just couldn't take it anymore. So Ichabod means really inglorious. It means there is no glory. And in her pain and despair, the woman, who by the way is not named in the Bible, lamented over the loss of the glory of God from Israel. The glory of God is used to describe God's favor. It's a dangerous thing when we get to the point in history where we no longer have the favor of God upon us. I think America has, in recent days, become dangerously close of Ichabod. The glory hath departed. It's interesting to watch and see. And I think that's one of the things that Franklin Graham got the ministry going all over America, to pull the Christian community together, to pray and to seek God's face, to repent of our sin and turn this nation back to God. I pray for the new administration coming in that they'll remember who our God is and the power of God and to realize His glory and to honor Him. I mean, it might be a small thing, but I did see that our president-elect was up in Wisconsin and saying finally now, what, Merry Christmas? I don't know if you saw that on the news or whatever. So it's interesting to see that the glory of God is used to describe God's favor. We need more than anything else. We need God's favor in our political arena that we see unfolding before us. You take God's favor away, you take God's blessings away, you take the power of God away, and God is no longer with us, He is no longer I, Emmanuel, then you have Ichabod. The glory hath departed. You know, it's interesting, Matthew 23, verse 37, verse 38, Jesus was lamenting over the city of Jerusalem. He told Jerusalem, He said, "You have killed the prophets, you have stoned those that were sent into your house," not God's house, your house. You know, it's interesting, when the glory of God departs and the favor of God departs, it's no longer God's house, it's your house. God says, without the glory of God, without the favor of God, it becomes man's house. And folks, more than anything else, we need God's favor. We need God's blessings. We need Emmanuel in our lives and in our church and in America and the world that we live in today. We need His presence. We need His power. I think the worst thing about a place called hell is God is not there. The absence of a creator, holy, omnipotent, sovereign God, that has to be the worst thing about a place called hell. When God is no longer with us, it becomes our house. We are abandoned to ruin and God is left. And how many Christians today or churches today have abandoned God or His glory has left, whether willingly or unknowingly? So the same things that caused Ichabod in Israel was sin and disobedience and idolatry can be present today in the generation that we live in today. We must never take the glory of God in our midst for granted, lest we wake up one day and find that God has left. O Emmanuel, He says in Isaiah 7:14, God is with us. He is our Emmanuel. So when we go through the Christmas time of the year more than anything else, whatever you're going through today, my friend, God is with you. He has not forsaken you. He'll walk with you. He'll fellowship with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to have that relationship with you. You know, it's interesting because I mentioned a moment ago that I didn't come to Christ until 1967. But by then I was 16 years old. And in our home, in our family, we always believed the Bible. We had Bibles in our home. We went to church every week. You know, the easiest way I can explain it to you is simply, we knew what the Bible was. We just didn't know the author of the Bible in a personal relationship. So the only thing I can say to encourage you today, if you're here today and you say, well, I believe God, well, so does Satan. I believe the Bible is true, well, so does Satan. The difference is you can know the Bible and you can know what the truth is, but until you know the relationship of the Creator that wrote all that and had that relationship with Him, that's called a salvation experience. That's called being born again, saved by the blood of Christ, and you have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and then we understand that our God is with us, and He promised He would never leave us and never forsake us. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father in heaven today, I pray today now as we Think about these words here in Scripture.